This study's wearing me out, so I'm glad that we're almost finished with it. All of this is. Okay, now let's spend a week or two finishing up with a study of some of the other major world religions. And as we alluded to, I mean, we've already discussed the three monotheistic, great monotheistic religions in the world. When I say great, I mean most influential, which are Judaism and Christianity and then Islam, in order of oldest to youngest. Might I add that the Christianity as it's practiced today is not accepted by God, is not true religion, and that when we're talking about the adherence to the true Christian faith, it's a very small number. So, as we've already discussed, I don't have a whole lot good to say with regard to the common practice of what is construed as Christianity in the world today either. But we are told that the way is narrow, and or the way is difficult and the gate is narrow that leads to life, and there'll be few that find it. So that it's a relative thing, and I don't know how many few are, but the fact is that's what we're taught in Scripture. So it's not surprising that by far the majority of the world and those who are in the world will take a path to destruction. And so these religions that you'll see that make up the large percentage of the world's inhabitants are all false religions. But we have nine others that we want to make note of. Again, we're going to take them alphabetically and not by any significant or any significant order other than they were listed alphabetically when I came across the list, and when I decided to do this, I kept them in that list. But I do want to just make note of one passage before we get into a discussion of them that's found in the introduction. That's from Acts chapter 17. Because I want you to note, and it's something we've already emphasized once before, but I think it's significant and worthy of mentioning again. When the Apostle Paul on Mars Hill was talking to the Athenians, their attitude was, we want to hear some new thing. So they were interested in a study of comparative religion. But it seems that their interest was more along the lines of mere curiosity. There wasn't a differentiation with regard to these things, even in the practice of their faith, their practice of their religion. There were multiple gods. There, the Areopagus was full of various idols. They were very much a polytheistic culture in Athens at that particular time. And so the Apostle Paul addresses their superstition, their religious nature, deals with it, and then begins to tell them about the one true God. And he says in verse 30, as he gives an end to his particular treatise, that this is the God that you need to serve. He said, truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked. In other words, that this practice that you've involved yourselves in the past, this has been allowed, but it's not going to be allowed any longer. That's not an indication that God approved of or allowed paganism or idolatry. That's not the point. The point is, he said, there's been a change, and that change came with regard to the coming of the Messiah. And the evidence he supplies here, he states, is supplied by God. Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world. So the day of judgment is alluded to here, in righteousness by the man, which is the Messiah, Jesus Christ, whom he has ordained, and he has given assurance of this by raising him from the dead. Giving assurance to all by raising him from the dead. And so when we look at all of these things and all of these religions, and what you're going to see are similarities to the Christian religion, they're going to see good things. And you'll hear people who will say, I'm a spiritual person, not particularly religious, I'm not adhering to any particular, but I try to take the good things out of every faith. But we're going to be reading some things that are found in these nine examples as we start next week, because we don't have time to start it today. But as we look through those things, you're going to see some things that, one, correlate with what we're taught in Scripture, that we're to do, how we're to act. They're good things. Most of these religions were started by people who saw, Roger even indicated that he had read this and heard this, that Muhammad was a reformer, that he saw a lot of evil stuff around and he wanted to change it. And so he had some good ideas, some things that would help to alleviate some of the immoralities and ungodliness that was practiced in his time. So you're going to see those kinds of things with all of these things. But what God has said is there's one man to follow, and this one man is going to judge us. And the proof that this one man is to be followed and he is going to be the judge, that this is the right religion, this is the true religion, and that's basically the premise of his address on Mars Hill, is the fact that God resurrected Jesus. Now, we've already talked in our lesson on apologetics of the evidence concerning the resurrection of the Christ. So we'll not revisit that. But I want you to kind of keep that in mind. There will people who will say, you know, the golden rule, which Jesus stated in, let's say, A.D. 30, between A.D. 30 and 33, when he said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Well, Confucius said the same thing 500 years before. Well, yeah. You think about that statement, to treat others the way you want to be treated. Well, that's a positive statement. It wasn't something that people didn't know to do before. I mean, that was the foundation of the basis of the law and prophets, is to love your neighbor. And certainly, do unto others you would have them do unto you is an application of that concept of loving your neighbor. So yeah, there are a lot of things that are taught in religions that have been established after, and religions that were established prior to the time in which Jesus walked on the earth that have good things in them. But that's not the point. The point is that God sent His Son as the Messiah of the world and gave evidence to the fact that this is the one who will judge mankind by raising him from the dead. That invalidates all the others. And where we can admire some of the premises and tenets of these religions, we might like to do yoga as a part of our daily activities, because a good stretch is good for us. The fact is that there is a religion which is the true religion, and that's the one that we hold to. And it is the Christian faith. So, I got my little bit of preaching in at the end. Anybody have any final comments? We got just a few moments before the bell rings. All right. Well, I appreciate very much everyone's kind attention, and we'll pick up with these nine religions. And what I want you to do, this is your assignment, is to go through all of this and all of the difficult words, try to pronounce them. And when you see how hard it is, then be nice to me next week when I foul it up, okay? I appreciate everyone's kind attention tonight.